believe it was Jerry who did that, was just out there scared. Steve wanted to announce, y'all, we're not having as normal the way we do our pledges, and everybody comes down front and put it on the altar. So please, you can either drop it by the office or put it in the altar plate, get your pledge card. But when you fill it out, just stick it in the altar plate or take it by the office, whichever one you like to do. Now let's give attention to the Lord speaking to us from Mark 6:45-52. It is found on page 51 in the New Testament in your Bible. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountain to the mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the love. Their hearts were hardened. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
September 11, 2001. Marge and I were standing in the airport in Mobile with a group of 35 people to board a plane headed for Logan Airport in Boston, Massachusetts. All of a sudden, on every television set there, there was the picture of these airplanes hitting the Twin Towers. A little bit later, hitting the Washington establishment itself. It was a storm. It was something we never, ever expected to happen in this country. But it happened. Just a few days ago, we had another storm down in the state of Florida. Something we did not expect to happen, but it happened. My point is, all over the world today, there are some storms. They are inevitable. That's not to say that I'm welcoming defeat or failing to tell the truth or standing here as a fatalist. I'm standing here as a realist. Poet said, "Into each life some rain must fall. Some days must be dark and dreary." But I'm also here to say to you from the Word of God that while He never promised us an absence of adversity, He always promised us His presence in the midst of the adversity. We've suffered adversity here in our church. The death of people we never expected. We've suffered the adversity of people who were struggling with death. We've dealt with disease. We've dealt with disaster. We know about the storm. Now, our text deals with the storm. It's not the only text in the Bible that deals with the storm. How many of you, without raising your hands, have ever been in a storm in either an airplane or a boat at night in the sea? It is a white knuckle affair, I can assure you. Difficult to handle. And we reach out anywhere we can for help. I get amused every time I read the story of Paul in the storm when he was making that journey to Rome. The Bible talks about that fierce seeking some kind of relief. So storms are out there. They're there for us to walk through. Now I want to talk about this storm particularly. Jewish time begins at 6 in the evening and goes to 6 in the morning, a 3-hour interval. So this storm took place in the worst darkness of the night. They were toiling in the rowing. That means they were giving it all they had, but they weren't making any progress because, as the Bible says, the wind was contrary to them. Sometimes in the midst of the storm, you feel as if you're toiling in the rowing and not making any headway at all. Sometimes I have people say to me, "Preacher, it seems like my prayers are not being answered. I don't seem to get what I want." They were praying, no doubt, as hard as they could to be absent from the storm, but here in the scripture, they were right in the middle of the storm. It's an interesting parallel to note that right before this, Jesus fed 5,000. Miracle after miracle, man, fed 5,000. He sent the boys away on the boat across the sea to Bethsaida. Now think about that. If he'd been a modern evangelist, he would have called for a press conference. And everybody would have known that he just fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. But instead of that, he initiated a prayer vigil, praying all night. What does that say about our occasional filibuster to God? About how tough we're having it, or how rough this particular situation is? But nevertheless, according to the Bible, that's exactly what he did. He prayed all night. I grew up on Cross Lake in Shreveport, Louisiana. Cross Lake was called that because storms came up unexpectedly, and they could be terribly difficult, and we lost a lot of people in that lake, hence the name Cross Lake. It had a lot of opportunity to be very cross and gross in our lives. The first sermon I ever preached, Howard Johnson told me, he said, "Jerry, I'm going to be there to hear you preach Sunday night." But Harold never made it. He was on Cross Lake that Saturday afternoon when another storm came, and he was contrary to the waves. Let the boat get in the middle of the waves instead of head right into the waves, and the boat was swamped, and he never made it out. That's the way life can be sometimes. When we least expect it, we walk in the storm. Now, having said that, these disciples thought they saw a spirit when Jesus was walking on the water to them. I can imagine the flashing of the lightning, bringing light, illuminating what they felt was the Spirit out there walking toward them. Their humanity was showing. They were fearful, scared literally to death. Now, you say, "Well, we don't live in a spirit world. We don't have any fear of anything like that." Well, how many of you made a midnight trek through the cemetery at midnight lately? How many of you have been walking out there? The truth is, the storm comes. Our reaction to the storm has to do with our background and our faith. That's the reason for this sermon. I remember Wallace Hamilton well telling the story of a young couple with their first child, and I'm assuming that child was 3 or 4. In a storm, a tremendous storm, thunder, lightning, rain. So they were upset. Of course, it was the mother who said, "Well, I better go check on the boy. said, "Bang it again, God, bang it again." He understood a lot of what was happening. And I remember my little girl, who is now, of course, a grown mother of three boys, practicing attorney. But when she was little and things would scare her, she would come into our room, come right up to our bed on my side all the time. And I would awaken from my sleep and she'd be standing there looking straight at me. Stop being afraid when they came.
into the Jordan. God said, stop being afraid. That is found throughout Scripture because that's our human tendency. God said it to Abraham. God said it to Jacob. God said it to Joseph. God said it all through the Bible. Stop being afraid. I'm here with you. As a little boy, in my mind, I grew up in a Christian family. Not a dogmatic family, but a very regular Christian family. And my dad, because he'd grown up hunting and fishing, he wanted me to grow up hunting and fishing. So he taught me to hunt. And the first thing little boys know on the hunt is squirrels. And you go into the woods, and you gotta be quiet early in the morning, before the sun ever even comes up sometimes, and you just sit down, and daddy, do this. And a little while later, we can shoo, like water was falling from a tree, and if you eased around, you'd see squirrels jumping from limb to limb. He taught me like that for a while, and then he would get on one side of the creek, said, now don't be afraid. Said, I'm like, no, don't be afraid. You just ease down through the woods. And if you get worried about where I am, you whistle like the call of a male quail. And I'll answer you. That always happens. Sometimes when we don't do the will of God, we get into a storm. That young prodigal found the same thing. He was going to prove to the world what a young boy with a lot of ability and initiative could do all on his own. But he fell into sin in the far country. And it's always a far country, by the way, when you go away from God. Some people don't get in the storm because they do exactly what God wanted them to do. That's always been interesting to me. Think about that. Joseph went from the pinnacle to prison because he did exactly what God wanted him to do. Daniel stood firm on his convictions, and what was the result? He landed in the lion's den. Stephen preached the truth, and it cost him his life. Paul and Silas, preaching the truth, spent more time in prison than they did out. Sometimes we get in the storm because we follow the will of God completely and without hesitation. God never promised immunity from the storm, but he promised repeatedly his presence in the storm be still. Peace, be still.
Though you can't reach out and touch him this morning, you can sense him. You can know his reach. You can feel his leadership in your life. I read this recently, and it spoke to me what I had learned flying. If you make an instrument approach fly, though you don't know it, the pilot up front is doing it. He's making an instrument approach to an airport. And you look out, you can't see anything but flashy lights blinking and clouds and clouds. But up front, that pilot with his ears on is hearing that controller say, "You're a little high, bring it down. You're a little low, bring it up." He keeps talking. You never talk. You listen and follow what he says. And finally he'll say, "You'll break out in just a minute. Let me know when you see the runway." And all of a sudden the strobe lights are blinking, leading into the runway. And you're safe. You're home. When you listen to God, this is what I read. When I fall, he lifts me up. When I fail, he forgives. When I'm weak, he is strong. When I'm lost, he is the way. When I'm afraid, he is my courage. When I stumble, he steadies me. When I'm hurt, he heals me. When I'm broken, he mends me. When I'm blind, he leads me. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I face trials, he's with me. When I face problems, he comforts me. When I face persecution, he shields me. When I face loss, he provides for me. And when I face death, he carries me home. What a God in all our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you more than we can express for your overshadowing presence in our lives. Not that we deserve it, but we certainly desire it, and we thank you for it. Bless us as you've blessed others who sought to walk through the storm.